The American Radio Newsreel, a headline-hunting expedition on the scene of action along the news fronts of the world, presenting the actual personalities who make the feature and page one news of the hour. An American who lived through the Lightning War and the fall of Poland.
Living in Warsaw during that first terrible week of bombardment and horror was an American actress, Miss Dolores Lorel.
On the eighth day, she started her two-week flight across a nation held in the throes of war.
But the vivid story of those hours of nightmare belonged to Miss Lorel and come best from her own lips. Will you please tell our reporter, Armand Lopez, and our listening audience about those days, Miss Lorel?
Well, we got aboard this train about the 7th. We kept going very slowly. We saw many refugees following the train, begging to get in, but of course they couldn't possibly get in.
Well, was the train attacked?
At this time, no, but later on, from then on, there was constant bombardment.
I see. Well, you mean aerial bombardment, or...?
Yes, aerial bombardment.
Well, how long did you stay aboard the train?
We stayed on the train that whole day and one night.
How far did you get?
In that time, we traveled about 25 kilometers from Warsaw.
Well, that's not even 20 miles in 2 days?
No, we couldn't travel at all because every 20 minutes or so, the alarm would be given. The train would stop at once. Those who could would run out of the train into the forest and wait until we were free to get in it again.
Well, pardon me, Miss Lorel, I understand that you left the train on the second day.
Yes.
Well, why did you leave? Did you feel that you weren't safe?
Well, we couldn't possibly stand any of that bombardment any longer. It was a question of running in and out of trains constantly, and the bombardment was so terrific that we couldn't possibly stand it any longer.
I suppose the mental shock must have been terrific.
It was awful. We know of two women who went mad in that particular train. One tried to jump out constantly.
Pardon me, Armand Lopez, but let me tell the listeners that Miss Lorel walked for 6 nights, sleeping in the daytime to avoid being seen. Will you please describe what you saw, Miss Lorel?
We went through towns that had been shelled, or those that we were aflame, I suppose. I know we saw flames all night. But we always tried to keep into the forest, away from the actual roads, you see, because we knew that the target was always the tracks or the actual towns.
Well, how was your physical condition at this time?
By this time, I couldn't possibly walk anymore.
What was your physical condition at that time?
Well, by this time, I couldn't walk. My feet were swollen. I had no shoes. My feet were wrapped in rags that we just got somewhere. And, of course, I never in my life had walked more than just a few minutes at a time. We hiked through forests in the blackness of the night, tripping over rocks. I'd fall because I couldn't see a thing.
On the 12th day of her flight, Miss Lorel saw tanks battering through the woods and trucks loaded with soldiers rushing along the roads. Her flight was almost at an end.
We were put into military trucks going towards East Prussia, and there, with a lot of Germans who were concentrated in Poland at the time, we were let out in Johannesburg, very well treated, and put on a train going to Königsberg. In this Königsberg, we found all the diplomatic corps of the various nations that had been released from Warsaw, as well as all American and other refugees.
Warsaw had fallen. Poland was no more. And the diplomats, civilian refugees, and soldiers were leaving the country. Thank you, Dolores Lorel, for your eyewitness story direct from the theater of war. The sports page. Jack Dempsey discusses fighters, past and present.
We're going to the place of business of one of the greatest and best-loved sports figures in America, and incidentally, one of the leading restaurateurs in New York, is the ex-champion Jack Dempsey. Champ, whom do you consider the greatest fighter that ever stepped into the ring?
Well, there was lots of great fighters. Frankly, every champion had something great. But my idol and one of the greatest fighters I think who ever lived was James J. Jeffries.
Well, tell us, Jack, what was the toughest fight you ever had in your career?
Well, they were all hard, but I think one of the hardest fights after I got up in the big time was the time that I fought Louis Angel Firpo down the Polo Grounds in 1923. In that fight, I was knocked down a couple times. He was knocked down several times. I was finally knocked out of the ring, and I've always considered myself very lucky when I come back and win the second round.
Now tell me, Jack, do you believe that there is any fighter in the game today who can beat the present champion, Joe Louis?
Well, there's a few boys around, may give Joe a little fight for a few rounds, but no one that I see who's capable of taking the championship from him.
Jack, you've been the idol of the kids. Yes, and of the grown-ups, too, for a long time. I wonder if you can tell the youngsters how to get places in athletics.
All anyone has to do to be a real champion in any line is to live clean and work hard, and I'm sure he'll get to the top.
You have just heard the voice of Jack Dempsey. Thanks a lot, champ. Not only for American Radio Newsreel, but also for your many admirers who are certainly listening in.
Edith Rogers Dahl fights for her husband's release from a Spanish war prison.
An American flying soldier of fortune, Whitey Dahl, was shot down in a Spanish loyalist plane in 1936. Taken prisoner by General Franco's forces, he was condemned to death. His wife wrote the general, pleading for her husband's life. In her letter, she enclosed her picture.
Franco, attracted by her blonde beauty, commuted Dahl's sentence. For more than a year now, Whitey has been detained in Salamanca.
Mrs. Dahl has just arrived in Boston from Europe. American Radio Newsreel reporter George Byron interviews Mrs. Edith Rogers Dahl aboard the liner Exocorda. Come in, Byron and Mrs. Dahl.
Mrs. Dahl, would you mind telling us what method you used to persuade General Franco to commute the sentence of your husband?
No, of course not, Mr. Byron. I was in Cannes at the time that Mr. Dahl was taken prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that I had tried about every imaginable way might be possible to get him out.
I see.
So I had the idea one afternoon of sitting down and writing General Franco a letter, which I did, had it put into Spanish.
Yeah.
And I enclosed a photograph.
Oh, yes.
Photograph in an evening gown, not the photograph so commonly spoken of in a bathing suit, which I wouldn't permit.
I see.
And I sent a photograph and the letter, and I received an answer.
Yes.
The answer to my letter was very interesting. General Franco signed it, apparently. Signatures on it.
I see.
And in this letter, he stated that he would not shoot Harold. He would not be shot. But that he would be detained as a prisoner of war.
Mrs. Dahl is back after 3 years of almost continuous views of European wars and trouble. George Byron, will you please ask her what her plans are?
Well, I understand that you're contemplating a lecture tour while you're
here. I'm contemplating a lecture tour now because it interests me, the subject interests me, in keeping America out of this mess.
Yes, I see. Well, from what you've seen in Europe, then you decidedly think that we should stay as far as possible.
I think we should stay out of it, with the exception of supplies and ammunition.
Yes, I see.
There's no doubt that Europe has a fight on their hands. They have a reason.
Yeah.
I don't see why we should send men.
Well, I'm sure most Americans definitely agree with you. Thank you, Mrs. Dahl. And we all hope that Whitey will soon be released from prison by General Franco.
The Movie Page, interviewing the celluloid celebrities.
Your Hollywood reporter, Eric Calkhurst, rounds up movie personalities for some rapid-fire interviews. All right, Eric, come on in and shine with your stars.
All right, New York. And now we're taking you to one of those famous Hollywood parties. And first, we'll introduce our hostess, Miss Claire Trevor, the lovely RKO star. Claire, what's the title of your current picture?
Allegheny Frontier. I mean, Allegheny Uprising. It's been called so many names. I almost forgot. Well, Allegheny Uprising.
Well, I've seen it, and while I'm not a publicity man in any sense of the word, I can say I really enjoyed it a lot. But what about radio, Claire?
Well, I want to say this, that I miss being on Big Town very much. I hope they miss me. I hope next year to be able to do something again.
I'm sure you will. And thank you, Claire Trevor. And now I'm going to take the liberty of questioning some of your guests. Come on up here, Adrian Ames. Adrian, let's talk about temperament. Do you think you're really temperamental?
No, I don't think I'm temperamental enough. As a matter of fact, friends of mine have often told me that I need more iron in my soul to really get me placed.
Well, if you're not temperamental, perhaps you have some pet peeves. What's the thing you like least about Hollywood?
Well, this sounds trite, but it is the lack of theater. I love theater, and that we just don't have them there.
Yes, that's a complaint I hear quite often. I confess I share it myself. Adrian, bring Eddie Lowe up here. He can't get off that easily. Eddie, where you been keeping yourself?
Well, I've been in Hollywood. I've been in Texas. I went out with Mr. Jesse Lasky in search of new talent, which I think is a fine thing for the young people on the screen. And then I visited my Aunt Kate in San Jose and stayed with her for a while.
Well, Eddie, in all the pictures you've starred in, just who was your favorite leading lady?
That'll be a very difficult thing to say. Every lady I play with on the screen is my favorite leading lady.
You're playing it cagey, huh? You just don't want to put yourself on a spot, is that it? How about blonde Beverly Roberts over there, Mr. Lowe? Oh, Beverly, come here. Beverly, tell us how you got into pictures.
Well, it's not really a very long story. I was singing in a nightclub called the Town Casino on West 52nd Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the very famous West 52nd Street. And a talent scout from Warner Brothers walked in one night and said, hello. And I said, hello. And she said, how about making a test? And I said, well, not right now, but a little later. And I did, and there I was.
Well, as I remember it, your first picture was with Al Jolson in The Singing Kid. How did you get along in that?
Fortunately, it was a very simple part to play, and I think that the critics and the public accepted me very nicely, and that started the ball rolling.
Well, Beverly, a few minutes ago, you heard Eddie Lowe here duck my question on favorites. Now, how about you? Who is the most attractive man you've ever met?
Well, I think the most stunning man I've ever seen in my entire life is Mr. Ronald Coleman.
Oh, Ronnie, huh? Well, I know many ladies will agree with you, but I'm a little disappointed you didn't name me. Well, that's all from this end. Take it, New York.
Thank you, Eric Corkhurst.
The man behind the movie newsreel.
In his New York office, Walton C. Arment, editor-in-chief of Pathé News, is interviewed about news coverage in Europe today. Mr. Arment, I'm sure our listeners would like to know how you get your war pictures.
In the European war, Neil Sullivan, one of our roving cameramen, got into the Netherlands, went to the border of Germany in a taxi cab. Up where he was, the Netherlanders are flooding their country, and throughout the nation, men are being mobilized. Well, from that cab, Sullivan stole pictures of the border scene and got them back without their being censored. But that was a piece of initiative that might easily have been thwarted.
Well, do you mind telling our listeners just how they got those films through?
That's one of the secrets of the trade, and one I can't tell. There are ways and ways, but they're not for publication. A great deal depends on the man in the field who is shooting the pictures and what sort of contacts he makes. Of course, the Home Office makes some of the arrangements, and our agents abroad do their share. More than that, I'm not at liberty to tell you.
Well, Mr. Arment, do you often send your men on dangerous assignments? I mean, to places where there might be trouble.
Our cameramen don't always wait for permission to go places, so they're always turning up where they shouldn't be. Then they're in a jam with the authorities. That's when they get in touch with me. Then the cables and phones hum back and forth to Europe as I try to arrange with the proper authorities to get them out of jail.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Arment, for this glimpse behind the scenes with your roving camera reporters.
The American Radio Newsreel is produced by Eric Palm, edited by Joseph Johnstone, and released throughout the United States and Canada by Ayers Prescott Incorporated, Radio City, New York. Your announcers, James Clemenger
and Alan Barnes.